Blog Talk Radio.
All I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear her say, well.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally start breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when I get, but if you're asking, he'll give you that like can you imagine. Living without all his grace. Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Praise you for all of my days. Until I finally stop breathing, yeah.
Your line is open so we can hear you.
You want to speak? Say hey.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I see that you're here, Mother Dillard and Janelle, Pastor Manny, others. I see others who are here. I don't know everybody, never, but God bless you. Welcome. How's everybody?
Hello. Doing good. How you doing, sis?
Good, good. Hey, yeah. Okay, more. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Mother Dillard, I hear you there. Who else is online, Jamel?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm muting, though.
I'm here. With my background kind of loud.
Amen. Okay, just put us on mute unless you have a question. Who else is here?
Right.
I mean, I see other people here. I mean, if you want to say you're here.
I'm here.
Hello.
I'm here. Yes, I'm
here. God bless you. Pastor Manny, you here?
And Miss Connie.
God bless you. Hey, Miss Connie, God bless you. Pastor Manny, I couldn't hear you. Okay, he's here. Okay, God bless you. We thank God today. So we were doing this this Wednesday. You know, we've been studying a series of strongholds, and so far, you know, we've covered some ground regarding strongholds and understanding that there are two invisible kingdoms, you all. Can anyone tell me what those two invisible kingdoms are? Anyone can tell me what those two invisible kingdoms are?
I'm just going to say light and
Hello?
Darkness. I'll just say light
kingdoms?
And darkness. I'm not, yeah,
okay,
I'm not sure.
Okay. So the two invisible kingdoms that operate around us is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. So that's the two kingdoms, the invisible kingdoms. So we've covered that already. That was in our first series as we're studying here, as we're studying the long series here, understanding, pulling down strongholds. So we've already covered, you all, the kingdom, the two invisible kingdoms that operate, and the visible spiritual warfare that's going on in the two kingdoms, which is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And then we talked about organized satanic kingdom. So we talked about that as we were coming out the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and 12. We gave those scriptures on last week, and we were talking about the rulers with authority. Also, we talked about world and dominators of darkness, you all. You know, as we recapped it on last week, we were studying that, and we were talking about the wrestling. Imagine not against persons with bodies, but against rulers with various areas and descending orders of authority against the world dominators of the present darkness. So understanding that using the word dominators is translated from the Greek word because it's a powerful word, and it is chosen because God never dominates anybody. We learned that God never dominates anybody. So wherever you encounter domination, you can be sure that it is satanic. You know, a lot of people enter into different churches and become under someone and not understand until later that they're part of a cult, especially if they're trying to dominate your life, control you, tell you what to wear. You know, you can't come in this way. You know, you kind of will you see that a lot of times happen. It'll bring you in one way, and then once you get in there, you realize, oh, my goodness, you know what, well, this is satanic. So that is the kingdom of darkness, which is Satan. So and this is not how God rules his people. So we talked about that, you know, understanding that God never dominates anybody, and Satan's ambition, however, is to dominate the whole world. So we have to need to understand that. He is not content with dominating a small portion of humanity. He is determined to rule the entire world through his kingdom of darkness. So we thank God. We thank God. So, yes, you all. So just kind of giving a recap on last week before we're going to go into prayer here, and just thanking God for this opportunity that we can come together boldly to the throne of grace, asking and receiving in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's, Father God, we ask, oh God, let your word go forth, not our word, not our feelings, but Father God, your word, and that you allow the scripture to take root and manifest in us, mind, body, soul, and spirit, and be engrafted on our hearts and mind, and helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you will keep us in perfect peace, oh God. We ask that you bless us, Father God, with revelation and knowledge and wisdom,
yes,
of
Father,
your word, that we may apply to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God,
yes,
we ask that the scripture,
interpret
scripture, precept upon precept, word upon word, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Let your word bring change, Father God. We come against every hindrance,
Hallelujah,
spirit, every spirit of confusion right now, deception, with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, we ask in Jesus Christ's holy name that you touch every heart and mind on this phone right now, Father God. Oh, Father God, that you open up their understanding to understand your word, that they will bring healing, deliverance, freedom, peace, and even healing right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you for it, Lord. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. For God be the glory. And we all say amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
And also
amen.
For that person. I got, you know, I usually pray before we go into anything. My husband had to remind me. But what happened is you all were already in on the line, and the system was telling me that there was a technical difficulty to try back later. And I kept trying to get back in, and it hung me up, and then it showed it was busy. But I could see you all were already on, but nothing can get started until I'm actually on the line as the host. Of the virtual studio. And so I was continuing trying to get on to my husband and say, hey, you got to pray. You got to pray. And I'm like, oh, I got so frustrated with trying to get on. So God, forgive me for that. If you want to pray, I just got to bless the Bible study so that we can receive all that we're supposed to receive in this session. So y'all forgive me. God bless you all for being patient with me. And thank you, my love, for reminding me. So I was going to do that first. So we were talking about last week, just kind of getting everybody caught up. Where we are, you know, if you have your pen and paper and your Bibles, make sure you have that when we have Bibles. So that way you can go back, you can highlight some things, and you can go back to it, you know, after we get off the call or whenever, you know, during the week to reference with, you know, what we learned and then how we apply. We don't just hear it, but we're not just hearers or readers of the word, but we are doers of the word. So once we reread it, we hear it, we do it. Or we hear it, we read it, and we do it. So make sure that we are doing it. So writing it down and then exercising it, you know. And once we begin to exercise it, then we'll see results. It's just like if you exercise your body and eat right, eventually you'll start seeing results. But you got to keep doing it till the results come. Then you'll find yourself not operating that way. Then you'll find yourself that stronghold doesn't have that hold on you anymore. And so we're just, you know, thankful for God. So you all, as we get into Bible study, if you're just now coming in, people are still coming in Bible study. So, you know, Bible study, tonight Bible study, as we were talking about, we are continuing our series on pulling down strongholds and understanding a stronghold is a habitual pattern of thought built into one's self life, you all, and Satan and his minions want to capture the minds of people. The mind is the citadel of the soul, you all, and he who controls the mind controls a very strategic place in us, okay? But when we understand that, because everything starts in the mind before we do anything, we think about it first, whether we do it quickly or whether we do it slowly, there is a thought that comes into our mind. So Satan wants to control that part. So again, does anybody have any questions? And let me know if I'm moving too fast or talking too fast, because sometimes I get a little excited.
What's she doing?
Anybody have any questions?
You're talking
I gotta put your phone on mute, please. Put your phone on mute. I'm not sure that is with their background. We can hear other people talking in the background. Please put your phone on mute. Mama, that's you.
Amen.
I got a question.
Jamil, you had a question?
Jamil, fix your phone where we can hear you because your phone is always really, really low. Go ahead. Let me turn my fan off. You said you had a question. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I do have a question. Because I was thinking about the strongholds that I have, right? And I just wanted to know is when you wonder what people think about you, is that considered a stronghold?
Yes.
To a degree, yes.
If it won't let you move or do anything because you're afraid,
right,
or whatever, I was gonna think if it's holding you, just keeping you back. Go ahead.
I couldn't hear you.
Go ahead, Pastor. You can answer.
Yes, to a degree. If you think about what people think about you, it is definitely a stronghold. That means that whoever the people is, it could be someone that you know, or it could be someone that you don't know. See, what you have allowed yourself to do is be consumed with, oh, I wonder if I'm good enough, or I wonder if they think this, or I wonder if they think that. So.
I think I know what I want to do, but I'm afraid that people will look at me a certain way, so that's holding me back from doing what I want to do.
That's fear.
Hold on, honey. Hold on.
That's fear.
Right.
That's a stronghold.
Right.
Fear is a stronghold. Yeah.
It is.
Oh, fear
me and my wife, we actually had some revelation and lesson of study about what you're talking about. In the book of Genesis, you know, we were talking about something just like that. And it's inferiority. you know, when you really just look at it, it is fear. But before fear, you know, that was a sense of inferiority. So that definitely, that is a stronghold. Something that you should come out of that. Something that you should be able to. All right, I'm not really worried about what people think about. I'm not really worried about what people say about me because it's causing me to feel in a way that I don't want to feel.
Mm. Yeah, you can't move forward because it's holding you. Because
when I think about it, it's a pause.
Yeah, so that's a stronghold because it holds you back from going
forward. I prayed for direction. I prayed for. I couldn't read you. What'd you say?
Once you pray, because I just think all you got to do is pray. No, you got to do more and pray. You have a part to do. God has a part, and you have a part to do. And it's all God wants you to do your part, and then God will do his part. So we pray, but it's more than just prayer. Now you have to put what you prayed about by faith in action. So if a spirit is keeping you back from moving, let's say it's a career move, you don't think you're qualified, but go ahead and apply for that thing, or go ahead and step out on faith. You know, that's how you overcome, and then you exercise, and then you go on. That thing that was holding you back from doing it, then you practicing every day to do that. When you normally wouldn't speak up, and every time somebody say something, then you speaking up for yourself, and normally you wouldn't speak up for yourself. So that's how you exercise. You know, now you walk into that, what you prayed about. You know, you start moving. It's like praying for something and expecting God to do it, but then you got to move by faith. Do your part. So that's, and we talked about that last week when the young lady was asking, you know, I deal with anger. Now, how do I do that? You know, you have to come, you have to overcome that and to create a crab that I'm going to be this way. And then you exercise that instead of responding in that way with anger, you respond in a different way, which is with joy, with happiness, with understanding, with an open mind. So you practice doing that. And I'll give that example about me. Instead of calling someone and saying, oh, is it a bad time that I, you know, right now I would say, is it a good time for you? Is it a good time? You know, so I started changing the way that I talk, you know, the way that I, you know, use my words, because then it changes the whole situation around and how people think and feel.
So basically speak it. Don't speak negative on it. Like, speak above it.
Hallelujah.
Yes. And walk in it.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So hopefully we answer that question for you, and the more that you learn about,
yes, thank you,
as we study strongholds, that you'll get, you know, more insight about how it works and, you know, how to apply it. And, you know, this series is going to help so many people, you know, with dealing with strongholds and to overcome them and understanding how Satan operates and in spiritual warfare, you know. So just continue to, you know, be on Bible study throughout this series. And make sure that you're taking notes and that you can go to Scripture, because we're definitely coming from the Scripture, the Word of God, not our own words, but it's definitely in the Bible. And so when you do that, then you'll be able to, now you're applying everything. Now you understand, oh, now I get it. This is how it works. Oh, I've been deceived all this time. Oh, I've been operating in darkness. So now you can come into the light and operate in the light. When you operate in the light, you're no longer operating in fear. You're operating in confidence and love and power that God gives us. Amen. And a sound mind. I'm sorry. God gives us, you know, power, love, and a sound mind, not the spirit of fear, so that you're no longer operating in, you know, in that spirit, but in the spirit of love and power and a sound mind. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Anyone else have any? Is there anyone else have any questions?
I have a question, but you don't have anything. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Have you, someone was telling me last night, and they sent me a video saying that it is it two Jesus? Have you ever heard of that?
What happened to what?
My Lord.
Have you ever heard two Jesus?
Have you ever heard that in the Bible? It was two Jesus.
No. Oh, you're talking about yes. It was like back in that time they had people, that was a common name for people to be called Jesus. So it was Bar, you're talking about Bar Jesus? That's why you're going to say Jesus of Nazareth, because that name was common back in the biblical day. So that's when they said Jesus of Nazareth. So whenever you hear this phrase, we always say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because they were, if people were called Jesus, they were just, it was one, you know, Messiah, the true Messiah was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior from Nazareth. But there were other people that were called Jesus. And in the Bible, there was someone called Bar Jesus. So you talking about that?
Mm-hmm. I never did that.
Yeah.
Through the whole thing, I sent me a video, and I was going along with the video last night, but I haven't finished it because I've never heard of it.
There was only one Messiah, only one true Messiah that walked the earth, and that was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that's why they often say Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen.
You know, because there were other people that were called Jesus. That was a common name in the biblical day.
Yeah.
But the only Jesus that that's other in the Bible that somebody else has named Jesus, but his name is Bar Jesus. And so you'll see that in New Testament. Yeah. So I'm not sure what the video is. I haven't seen it. But be careful what you let your eyes see. Don't open up everything everybody
sees
you
to. That was a question that I was going to ask.
That'll place you in a place of a stronghold. Then you can't move. Then you can't believe. Because now, because Satan comes to cause confusion and division. So now you got to believe, oh, it's two Jesus. And then you're trying to figure out, what Jesus am I? I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Because that's what the enemy comes. So every time somebody sends you something and they got a praying hands or a cross, you don't open up everything just because it has a scripture tied to it, because that's how the enemy operates. You got to understand where the enemy comes from. He was in heaven once. He was an angel. He knows exactly how, you know, God's whole plan works and runs because he was part of it. You know, he was God's main angel. And so we have to understand that, you know, be careful. I don't open up everything people send me, you know, just because it has a scripture tied to it. And then they start telling you, send it to 10 people if you trust God to do it. If not, you got to be really, really careful. You can't put your eyes on everything and every pastor and every, and just, you know, we have to be really, really careful because you'll be caught up in a stronghold even with that. You know, people are like, well, you know, because everybody is not, you know, sent by God, even though they'll say, Lord, 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 and, you know, they'll do things in the name of Jesus Christ and everything. And, you know, if you know the Bible and you read the Bible, you'll see that happens, you know, even in the biblical times. And Jesus said, you know, I don't even know you. You know, so you got to be really, really, really careful with that. Because he'll use anybody, you know, the enemy. People come again.
Yeah. I just don't believe anybody that be that's more like stuff like that. I just don't believe everybody that be saying that they're called by God and preaching the word. And
yeah,
I just
because
don't
you gotta understand,
everybody.
You have people that read the Bible to find error in the Bible. We read the Bible because we believe. The Bible is for the believer, not the unbeliever. So you got people that's always trying to find fault in the Bible, error in the Bible. You know, it's the Bible is the most the book that has most scrutiny because everybody wants to find now that can't be true. You know, we don't read it to find error. We read it because we believe, and the Bible is for the believer, for the believer only. Because anybody else is looking to find error. Okay, what about this? And, oh, and this, you know, they're looking for error. You got to be careful with those people. Because you're thinking, why would you be looking for error when the Bible tells us that Jesus came so that we can have life and have life in abundance? Jesus came to save us. And all we got to do is believe and trust. And when we get Jesus, we get changed. What greater thing? What is greater than that? What is greater than that, you know? You know, but anybody trying to tell you, you gotta do good to get. You gotta understand, even as we're learning about strongholds, this is somebody that's trying to be dominant. He's a dominator. Dominators of darkness is trying to control you. They're trying to dominate you. And so you gotta be really, really careful with that. Amen. Anybody else have any questions? Because it's really, you know, we have Bible study, even though we're on this series, but I definitely want to answer, me and my husband want to answer any questions that you have, anything that you've encountered during the week or last week or today, and you have, you know, concerns about, we want to, even though we have this lesson, we can always deviate from the lesson and get back to it, because I definitely want to answer those questions, because I don't want you to end up being led astray or down the wrong path, and then you're confused, because the enemy comes to bring confusion and division. He comes to make you feel condemned. You know, there's no condemnation in Christ. And so if you're feeling condemned, you know, you're feeling confused, or you're feeling, you're in fear, you know, that's the works of the enemy. And we don't want you to be that. We don't want you to be in Bible study in fear and, you know, afraid to open your mouth because I don't want to sound dumb or that I don't know. And I've been in church all these years. That's what the enemy wants you to do, to keep your mouth closed, to keep you in the dark, to keep you not knowing. And God wants you to know. He wants you to have knowledge and wisdom. The Bible tells you, said, if you want wisdom, ask, and he'll give it to you.
That's right. That's right. Hallelujah.
He'll give it to you. So you know, understand that that's a stronghold, and we have to be very, very, very careful. You know, you can't care what somebody say, well, I sent that to you. Did you open? No, I didn't. I wasn't led to. Be led. Be led what you put your eyes on. My husband always tell me, because lately I've been, you know, putting, you know, I was like, oh, let me get out of this because this feels like a stronghold. Watching, you know, I don't know if you ever used to watch crime TV, anybody, and you was like, man, I got to get off of this thing. And that thing was starting to work on your emotions. It started to get in you. Anything that you continue to do over and over, it'll get into you, you all. And so you got to be careful, and that's a part of you. And you're trying to figure out, why am I feeling this way? Why am I operating this way? Because you allow that thing to get into you. So be really, really careful. I got something that's going on there where I'm just, and normally I don't do that. I'm YouTubing and I'm looking at this one thing over and over. My husband, you better get your eyes off of that. You better stop, you know, guard your gates. And I'm like, I'm no better than this. And look at me, I'm just going. So, you know, thank God deliver me. So anyway, anybody have any questions as I continue to recap and, you know, so that we can, you know, kind of be caught up and then we'll continue on. Anybody else?
I have one for you. You know, with the elections coming, I'm at a crossroad because I don't like either candidate, really. But the reason I don't like Biden, well, some of his policy, I'm not going to say him. I don't like his policy because I'm pro-life. And he has a big pro-choice platform to where he's got to make it where a woman could be 9 months pregnant and decide, I don't want this baby after all, and then she can go and kill that baby. At 9 months, and that's a full-term child, and that to me is like child murder. And so I feel like if I vote for him, which I definitely don't want to vote for Trump, but I feel like if I vote for him, I'm supporting it. So I'm gonna cross the road right there.
I tell you, when you get into politics. You know, the word of God tells us, you know, that we should pray for our leaders. You should pray for your leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever it is that you are praying for, if you are praying for Donald Trump, then, you know, it is your right, you know, by the law of the world to vote for Donald Trump. Or if you're praying for the other one, then you vote for the other one. That's the best way to put it, because every single thing that the social media or the media say is not going to be true. It's not going to be true because that's just what the world do. I'm going to scandalize this one so I can be able to win the election, and I'm going to scandalize that one so I can be able to win the election. I'm trying to win you over by fear, and that is the very thing what we are not supposed to do. We're not supposed to do things fear-based. Everything that you should do should be led by the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to whoever it is that you vote for. And whoever it is that you vote for, make sure that that's the person that you are praying for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I'm praying for both of them, though. That's the thing. Both of them need Jesus real bad. So
yeah, definitely we definitely want to continue to pray for our leaders.
About their
and,
issues.
You know,
their platforms.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying it's about their platforms that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Right,
well,
right. For me, you know,
go ahead.
No, I'm gonna let you go. Go ahead.
What Satan does, and what his ages or what his politics, what they want to do is they want to get you talking about these worldly things instead of talking about the godly thing. They want to get you. That this is the stronghold that we're talking about. They want to get you thinking about the worldly things instead of thinking about the godly things. See, once you get yourself in that place where I'm thinking about, you know, this one does abortion and this one is for this and this one for that, so now you're thinking about the worldly thing, in which that is the very thing that is occupying your mind, it's occupying your thoughts, and it's causing you to have emotion. And then when you have these emotions are going to be negative, then it's going to cause you to fear. And now, you know, you're talking about everything other than what we're supposed to be talking about, which is the gospel
right, let me
of grace,
intervene for a second.
Truth,
let me,
and peace.
Let me intervene for just a second. I just want to give you an example because some people feel like I have to vote, but you don't have to vote. You can pray for both, but you don't have to vote just to say that, you know, I'm a voter, I'm going to vote, you know, but you pray for both people that's going to be in position so you don't feel like, you know, I'm siding with the devil. Both the devil, if you go in a place and you don't eat pork, right, and all they serve is pork, but one is grilled and one is fried. Do you still make a choice for the pork, even though you know you're not supposed to have pork, but this is all they have is pork, so you're going to grill it or you're going to fry it, or you're going to say, you know what, no thank you, you're going to walk away?
I like that.
You got to understand.
I like that.
Huh? Yes, I'm just saying,
like,
you don't have
analogy
to vote. If you're not for one and you're not for the other, and they're both operating, you know, in the kingdom of Satan, why would you vote? Why would you side with either one? So the thing is, you step back and say, I'm not going to even vote, because what I'm looking for is not in either one of the people. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stay here. I'm going to pray. It's like when you go to church and you've been hurt by a church and you decide, hey, right now I'm not even comfortable with being in the church, but I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to seek God, and I'm going to ask God to help the church. But you're not going to just go jump in just to say, I'm in church, I'm over here, I'm over there. That's the same thing. If it's not someone that's in there that you want to vote for, don't just go vote just to be voting, just to say, I voted, even though I didn't want to vote for this person. And I didn't want to vote for them, but I had to vote. No, you don't have to vote, but you do have to pray. Pray for them. Whoever's in position, whoever
thank
wins,
you.
We want to pray for our leaders.
Hallelujah.
Come again.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Glory to God. Yes, because if I'm in, like, I'm not going to make a choice if what I'm looking for is not there. And she's like, it ain't for me. And I'm going to pray for y'all. You know, I'm going to pray. We always pray for our leaders. So whoever, you know, wins, that we pray. But we know God, He is our provider. He has all power. So it doesn't matter what happened to everybody else, because God has us. We don't have to worry about that. Whatever's going to go over there, we don't have to worry about it, because we already prayed for it. You know, we already see it coming. We're going to pray for it. We're going to cover those leaders wherever they are. We're going to cover those leaders. And God can change the heart of any man. I don't care who he is. If you know the Bible,
that's
you know
right.
The story about Pharaoh. You know, God can change the heart of any man. And so we thank God.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else have any questions? I like this. I like that, you know, everybody's expressing how they feel tonight. I hope everybody's okay with that. Is everybody okay with that? Y'all okay? Angie,
amen.
You okay?
Yes.
Yes,
Mel, you
are.
Okay?
Yes.
Mama,
yes.
You okay? Miss Connie? Y'all okay with it?
I'm okay.
Y'all okay? Mama, you okay with it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be on mute, so you don't hear me say nothing.
Okay, Angie, you okay with it? I just want to make sure everybody's okay, because I just want to give. Angie, you okay with it? Miss Connie?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just, if I, you know, you just never know when somebody else has something on their heart or mind or going through, how it can help us, you know. You're like, oh, I didn't think about that. But yeah, I was thinking about the other day, and I'm glad they said that. But we thank God as we continue to talk about, you know, pulling down strongholds. Again, we were talking about spiritual hosts of wickedness, and understanding what that means. You know, the word host in the English same words for army. When you say host, if you're praying like you heard in the Bible, host is an army, you all. So according to the scripture, vast armies of satanic beings, persons without bodies, you all, or arrayed in battle against us. So it's important that we know this, and this isn't it, okay? So if we truly understand the nature and scope of the forces we are up against, it will adjust our perspective, you all, and transform our lives. And this is what this soul series is about. And also understanding the heavenlies, we talked about that previously, you all. Understanding the heavenlies, we talked about that a little bit. And understanding when we look at the Bible, the first verse, if you all remember, if you wrote it down, the first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens, which is plural, and the earth. So we understand that there's more than one, you know, heaven or heaven. He created the heavens, so that's more than one. And I gave you all the scripture on that. I mean, we had 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 and 4, if you all want to write that down, if you didn't get it last week. And we talked about all the heavens as well, and that was in, we talked about that in, okay, 2 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, 2 through 4, you all. And again, we were in Ephesians 4 and 10, all the heavens. As well, we talked about that. I'm just kind of doing a brief, you know, walk through pretty quickly, not to go word for word. And so now we're at, I want to believe that we are at the part of war in the heavenlies. Am I right on track right there? Right? Well, now we're going to be talking about the war in the heavenlies,
amen.
You all. All right? So, you all, rather than speculate on this matter, as we talk about the war in the heavenlies, of our battle in the heavenly realms, let's look at the scripture account here of Daniel. Well, Daniel's battle in prayer. We're going to go to the book of Daniel in chapters 10 through 12 of the book of Daniel. So I won't read everything in the book of Daniel, but those chapters, you all, is going to be in chapter 10 through 12. Chapter 10 through 12. Not verses, but chapters 10 through 12. And I won't read everything in the book of Daniel, but just so you can have it, and you can probably just go, if you want to read it up to yourself, that's fine. But that's, again, that's Daniel chapters 10 through 12. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. I want to take up too much of y'all time tonight. I'm excited. I thank God for this time. And so, okay, so again, Daniel chapter 10 through 12. So this account clearly illustrates here the principle. When you have a chance to read Daniel, you all, you'll understand here how this account clearly illustrates the principle that we must penetrate Satan's hostile kingdom with our prayers. So prayer is very important here as we pull down strongholds and we war in the heavenlies. So we will not examine the entire, we won't go through the entire narrative, like I said in Daniel, but you can read it to yourself or go back to it and just write it down again as Daniel chapter 10 through 12. And you can go back and reference what we what's being taught here as we're talking about war in the heavenlies. So let's talk about the opposition by satanic angels. So at the beginning of Daniel chapter 10, we see that Daniel had set aside a period of 3 weeks, you all, as a special time of prayer and fasting. So many Christians are called to fast, and we do that a lot. Me and my husband, we have a life of prayer and fasting. Anybody that know me, you always sound to me, I'm fasting and praying. And so let me let Sister Mackie in. She just came in. Sister Mackie, hey, Sharon, God bless you. We're glad you made it in. We're just now getting started. We're still continuing the series of pulling down strongholds. So if you have your Bible and your pen and paper, we're still talking about pulling down strongholds this week. And we're gonna finish. We're gonna continue this series until we're gonna continue till we finish it. So again, you know, Christian life. You know, we live a life of fasting and praying. So Daniel here, he was fasting, and as you all know, many of us. We fast, and we heard of it, it's called the Daniel fast. I don't know if you've ever been on the Daniel fast, but he did not give up eating entirely, but he ate a diet that that consisted only of simple fruits and vegetables. So he ate no meat and drank no wine. So in his fast, Daniel was, he was mourning before God on behalf of the people of Israel, you also, who were captive of a Gentile empire. So at the end of the 3 weeks, a glorious angel named Gabriel came to him with an answer to his prayers and a revelation from God, which is explained you all in Daniel 11 and 12 concerning the future of his people. So let us read the angel's announcement in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. I don't know. Susan, are you at that part? I can read it. Are you in Daniel chapter 10? And you can read verses 12 through 13 to everyone. Anyone there already? Daniel chapter 10? Chapter 10, verse 12 through 13.
I'm there. I'm already there.
Okay, good. Okay.
Daniel 13? 10, 13?
Chapter 12 to 13.
Chapter 12 to 13. I'm already there. Okay, is it chapter 10 and the verse 12 to 13?
Uh-huh.
Okay. 13.
Right. So you got it. You're going to read it. Who has it?
I have it. I'm waiting. But if you want me to read, I will.
Okay. Whoever wants to read, go ahead.
Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia.
Okay. All right, you all. Y'all put your phone on mute in the back because I'm getting a lot of back feedback, and I just want to make sure everybody can hear, if you don't mind. I have the lines open, so you can always come in and say, excuse me, Pastor, and if you have something to say, we'll be happy to receive you. So when we look at these chapters here in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 to 13, to paraphrase, the angel was saying, the first day you began to pray, you were heard, and I was sent with the answer to your prayer, but it took me 3 weeks to get through to you because somewhere between the throne of God and you, I was opposed by satanic angels. I had to force my way through those angels. So we're looking right here and obstructing kingdom. So it's very clear that at the time of Daniel that the Satanic kingdom was located someplace between God's throne and the earth. So, again, this fact has not changed. It was there when Paul wrote Ephesians 6 and 12, which was at least 30 years after the death and resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. So, in other words, whatever the organizational structure of Satan's kingdom had been, it has not changed by the death or resurrection or ascension of Jesus. So Jesus ascended far above Satan's kingdom, but Satan's kingdom remained in place, you all. So later in the text, the angel Gabriel told Daniel, in effect, that I have come with the answer to your prayer, but when I leave, I am going to have to fight my way back through the same angels. Then I'm going to have to fight other satanic angels. And we see that in Daniel chapter 10, verse 20. So the angel said that while he was on his way to Daniel, the prince of the kingdom of Persia had withstood him for 21 days. So for 21 days, these angels were battling in the heavenlies, you all. So Gabriel also spoke about the king of Persia. So in the language of the New King James Bible, the word prince denotes a supreme ruler. So kings were sub-rulers. So these rulers were all concerned with the empire of Persia, which at the time was the largest and most powerful empire on earth with 127 provinces. So Satan had one super angel. So Satan had one super angel. Because remember, Satan king, they had fallen angels. So they're good angels and they're bad angels, you all. So Satan had a super angel who was responsible to him for the entire kingdom of Persia. I don't know if you all know, there's an angel that's assigned to you from both sides. But this evil angel had authority over other angels who were responsible for various areas within the kingdom of Persia. So since there were major cities in the Persian Empire, there probably was one sub-angel over each major city in the empire. So there are evil spiritual influences. Let's talk about that. Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay. So, you all, I've traveled to Africa. I've been to Europe. I've been to Portugal. And I've been to different places here in America and out of the country. And so when I went to Africa, I had to claim the ground and understand the type of demons and spirits that were operating on that ground and go claim it. And so, you know, understand there are different spirits that are operating in different demonic groups that are operating on different grounds. So to take this concept further, let me also point out that there were many different nationalities within, you know, the Persian Empire, you all. So we're talking about, you know, the angel was saying that he had to fight against the kingdom of Persia. So here, understanding that there are different nationalities. So as I travel, there are different nationalities, as we know around the world, there are different nationalities. So by my observation, there is often a particular satanic kingdom over specific ethnic group. So in the United States, we know, which is made up, we have a variety of ethnic groups here, and it's clear and present that different ethnic groups have different satanic powers over them. So in dealing with those and different ethnic groups spiritually, it becomes important to identify the power that is over them. So for instance, you know, us as African-American, you know, our population here in America, so we have different things, people that are, you know, that were brought over here from Africa, you know, as slaves, you all, we know that, you know, and we know about the different operations that's in Louisiana. You know, as a little child, you can always hear about the different, you know, the witchcraft and the swamps and stuff like that. So many of these, many of these descendants of people are our descendants of Africa who were brought to America as slaves, and our ancestors were slaves, and we have been, politically emancipated, you know, but if we have never been spiritually emancipated, we remain under a spirit of slavery. So we share this concept, you know, with other, you know, Black Americans who have agreed at this. You may be why some, you know, Black Christians as ourselves can progress only so far, and then something seems to stop us. You know, because there's a spirit, you know, there's a spirit of slavery that's on us, because we were brought over as slaves, and some of we're still operating in that spirit of slavery. So applying this principle more broadly, when Paul spoke in Romans 8 about a spirit of bondage or slavery, he said that we do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So looking at verse 15, but we receive the Spirit of God, which makes us children of God. Looking at verse 16, so
yeah.
If you look at the context, the kind of bondage he was talking about was religious legalism. So people whose religion consisted of sets of rules, do this, don't do that. My observation is that of, you know, African Americans, we battle with legalism. You know, we struggle to know the real liberty of God's grace. And so the reason is that the spirit of slavery has not been fully dealt with, and it still has a measure of control over us, you all. So as a group, you all, as a race, we have never been set free spiritually. Now, I'm not saying everybody, but when I talk about the black race, when I talk about, you know, African American, you know, a lot of us have not been set free spiritually, and that is the truth. So in the same regard, another group in the United States, you all just talk about them, we mentioned, you know, like the Native Americans, you know, some of us have, you know, that in our family, you know, Indian, Native American. So for the most part of the United States is, you know, our country here is of liberty. So where almost anyone can thrive because of their nature of the economy and their culture. But a person does not have to acquire an advanced education degree in order to prosper, you all. However, as a whole, when we look even at the Native Americans, they have not prospered either. So many of them live in poverty, and spiritually, many of them are still in darkness. A number of them are powerful practitioners of witchcraft, you all. It is a tragedy, but my impression is that until someone with spiritual vision and understands the root problem of Native Americans and is prepared to engage in the spiritual warfare necessary to release them, they will remain in bondage as we are. And that's just the truth, you all. You know, if we can understand the root, I always talk about the root of spiritual warfare and uprooting those things that we live with, not understanding, hey, well, what is this? Because we have not spiritually been delivered. You know, we have not been delivered from that. And so I think that if we ponder on what was being said, and we will begin to see the same general principle operating in various groups and nations across the globe as a manifestation of spiritual warfare. So even when I was in Africa, you know, they have a strong, of witchcraft. You know, they operate so deeply in witchcraft and sacrifice. You know, they sacrifice. That's what the land is known for. I mean, and it is strong there. When I was there, I saw a lot of things. I heard a lot of things. I went a lot of places. I've even had some things that happened to me while I was walking around Africa. And it is real, you all. I'm telling you, it is real. If you haven't laid your eyes on it, it is real. Even my husband can tell you some of the stories, right? Right here in America, right here.
Yeah, right here.
You know, and so, hallelujah. People, they practice it, they believe in it. You know, more than what people believe in Jesus Christ, they believe in it. You know, people have more belief in Satan and witchcraft than they do in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, than they do in God. And it's a shame, and they're just in bondage, and that's the work of the enemy. So I thank God for this opportunity that we can share. Does anybody have any questions right now? Anyone? I know a lot of y'all are on mute, so I'll give you a chance to come off mute. All right. Pastor, you have anything you want to say so far?
Oh, no. No, I don't have anything to say. You know what? Yes, I do. I do have something to say. Now, we are identifying strongholds of different origins, strongholds of different religions, race, creed, color, whatever it is, you know, by thought, word, or deed. So we identify these things. You know, the main thing to do is, and I think I said this when we first started this series on stronghold, is not to be in fear, not to be in fear. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So because we serve a risen Savior, there is no reason for you to be in fear. This lesson is for to give you an understanding of what's going on in your life or what's going on around you, so you would know how to be able to pray against these things, how to come out of these things, how to be loose from these strongholds, not just to bind these strongholds, but to be loose from them. So that is the reason for this series on strongholds. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, and that's so true. We look at 2 Corinthians as we continue. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4 says that the God of this age reference to Satan and his demons, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So if that's his strategy in the lives of those who haven't trusted in Christ, then his strategy in the life of those who have trusted in Christ is to confuse, to frustrate, and even steal the truth of God that has been deposited in their lives, and ultimately attempt to mar the image of God in our lives. So that's why I would say we have to be careful what we lay our eyes on and allow it to enter into us, because it'll cause confusion. It'll cause, you know, division. It'll cause so much chaos in our life, and it'll cause us to operate in fear. You know, then we'll get to the point we don't even want to hear it. I don't want to hear that, because when I, you know, that's just too much for me. I don't want to hear it. But it's important that we understand and have knowledge of it and wisdom to know how to apply it. We can come out of those things so we can finally be free and our family can be free. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we just thank, like I said again, we thank God. Thank God for this time right now. So anyway, as we continue, we're talking about spiritual principles. Let's move on to spiritual principles here. We thank God right now. Spiritual principles from the experience of Daniel. So we're talking about spiritual principles from the experience of Daniel. So at the end of the 10th chapter of Daniel, we learn another key factor here regarding this war in the heavenly. So in verse 20, the angel had essentially told Daniel, when I leave you, I will have to fight again with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So, and then I will have to fight with the prince of the king of Greece, of kingdom of Greece. So why Persia and Greece, you all? Because they were two of the four Gentile empires that dominated God's people, Israel, and their land. So including the city of Jerusalem during and after the captivity. So the four successive Gentile empires dominated Israel, which is Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. So in Daniel's day, Persia was still the dominant empire, you all, but the next one would be Greece. So the battle is always the most spiritual, intense, wherever the key issues of God's kingdoms are focused, you all. So wherever God is at work, you will find Satan at work. So I know a lot of times you're going through, also, you know, when you're going through something, you're trying to get with God, and God is doing something, you're like, why is this coming against me? What is this for? Why does it seem so much? Because wherever God is at work, so when God is at work in you, you'll find Satan at work also. So it's a battle. You know, in your mind, there's a battle. You're trying to think, why can I get on my knees and pray? Why can I move forward? I know what to do right, but why would I still do wrong? There's a battle when God is doing the work. So know that God is doing a work in you, so that's why so much that's coming up against you, because Satan is battling you. He's battling for you. So,
amen.
So when we look at this right here, so the enemy's name essentially means that when we talk about the enemy here, the enemy's name essentially means the resistor. So how true?
Uh-huh.
He resists God's purposes and his people. And we see that in Zechariah 3:1, he can't help it. He is a slave of his own nature. So it is paramount that we carry out spiritual warfare so that God's purpose for his people will be fulfilled. Daniel is a marvelous example, you all, of someone who by prayer and fasting affected the history and destiny of his people. I don't know if you all ever fast and prayed, and not just fasting, but you believe before you fast and pray, and then things, you know, opened up. That's what you was praying for, or God showed you a better way. You know, try, you know, living a life of fasting and praying. Even if you can't do 21 days, try doing a day. You know, we fast and we pray on Mondays only for 6 hours. And then, you know, try 3 days, you know, try then after that, try 7 days, you know, fasting and praying and see, and just see for yourself. So as a brief review, let's read through the various passages in Daniel 10, and then I will add some comments in relation to super spiritual warfare, you all. And then I'll open up for you all if you have any questions. So in Daniel 10, chapter 10, verse 2-3, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Notice that the period of 3 weeks is emphasized, after which the angel Gabriel came to him and made various statements, mostly notable the one we find in the following passage here, Daniel chapter, I'm sorry, y'all, the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Again, Daniel, we're still in Daniel, you all. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Again, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So the angel of God was oppressed by the prince of the kingdom of Persia, you are, for 21 days. So in the end, another God of God's angels, the archangel Michael, had to come and join in the conflict. So in a later chapter of Daniel, Michael is called the great prince who stands to watch over the sons of your people, which is Israel. So
Hallelujah.
In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, you all, as a matter of biblical interpretation, you will find this information helpful, you all. Wherever Michael is on the scene, Israel is center stage in human history. So this is because he is the particular angel who has the job of looking after Israel. And believe me, that is a tough job, you all. If you read the Bible and know the Bible,
Hallelujah.
The children of Israel, the people of Israel. So the angel Gabriel later told Daniel, you all, when we look at Daniel chapter 10, verse 20, here, he says, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. In other words, the battle isn't over yet. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. So the angel indicated that Greece would be the next Gentile empire whose principality he would encounter in spiritual warfare. So from this account, we understand that behind the history of those human empires, there were satanic forces at work that were the real explanations, you all, for what happened in them and with them. So you cannot fully understand human history if you look only on the horizontal human level. So the forces that truly determine the destinies of nations and people are at work in the heavenlies, you all. So when we look at verse 21, Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, the Bible says, then Gabriel said, but I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. So no one opposed me against these except Michael, your prince. So here, once more, we see the reference to the vital role of the archangel Michael. So let us move on, you all, to the first verse of the next chapter, which is actually part of the same message, Daniel chapter 11, verse 1. It says, also in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. So, this is clearly an example of the intervention of angels in human history. So why did God's angels stand up for Darius, you all? The answer is clear. God's people, which is Israel, have been captured and enslaved by the empire of Babylon. But Darius was the ruler of the Persian Empire who destroyed the Babylonian Empire and released God's people to return to their own land. So this was God's purpose. So let us remember that behind all the human forces that are engaged on a horizontal plane, there is a vertical plane where angelic forces, both angels of God and angels of Satan, are at work.
That's right.
So human history truly explained by the interplay of these forces. And you know what? I give a better example than that. And like I said earlier, when you're trying to do right and there's a force that's coming against you and you know it, you can be in prayer and you're praying and you say, God, deliver me from this, from this anger, from my mind, God, deliver me from my ways, Lord, show me the errors. And as soon as you come out, bam, you back in that thing. You know, or you try, you know, you really trying and you fighting
Hallelujah.
In your mind. You're trying to, you know, that spirit of stagnation and procrastination. You said you're going to do it. You set your mind to do it, but then you can't. There's a force. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get on and I'm going to pray and I'm going to get up at this time and pray. And then something just holds you right there, holds your mouth. You can't even open your mouth. There's a war.
Hallelujah.
There's a war, you know.
Hallelujah.
So then you're not going, is it me? And, oh, God, I want to. And I don't know why I feel so bad. I feel ashamed. But once you understand there's a war, you press forward. You open your mouth in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
If you can't say, no, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. I come against you right now. Come out in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Satan. You speak that thing. You just fight through it because there's a force right there. There's a force. And as we know now, it is the kingdom of
Hallelujah.
Satan that's working against you. There's a fight. Well, there's a work of God. There's Satan working against it. So I'm gonna wrap this up here shortly here, you all. Does anyone have any questions? We're almost finished here, and then we'll continue to, you know, go through this series of pulling down strongholds. If you bear with me for a few more minutes, and then I'll open up for you all to have any comments or any questions or concerns. I would love to hear from you. So we're going to talk about, as we continue to talk about pulling down strongholds, as we are, you know, talking about here, in this part of Stronghold, war in the heavenlies, you all. We're going to talk about entrusted with spiritual power, being entrusted with spiritual power. So why are we as Christians significant to the process of spiritual warfare? The answer is because God has given it to us, you all, and to us alone.
That's right.
So the armament by which we can intervene on behalf of those who are being attacked by Satan and his kingdom. So I'm going to say the extra again. Why are we as Christians, as believers in Christ Jesus, significant to the process of spiritual warfare? Because God has given it to us. He's given it to us.
That's right.
And to us
Hallelujah.
Alone. So it's the armament by which we can interfere, you all,
Hallelujah.
On behalf of those who are being attacked by Satan and his kingdom. So some governments
Hallelujah.
Have vast armies and weapons with which to confront other nations or resist their attacks, but only the Christian church has the military hardware to intervene in the spiritual
Hallelujah.
Realm, you all, in the spiritual realm, in the heavenly. So as we have seen in Daniel's case, the one who wins in the heavenlies ultimately determines the course of history. So here, the most significant action you can take for the sake of history is to be an intercessor. By, you know, a lot of people, I don't want to be an intercessor, but if anytime you're praying for someone, you're interceding. So the
That's
people
right.
who we are called to intercede for
That's
one another,
right.
you all
Hallelujah.
Praying for one another means you're interceding for one another. So So by doing so, you all, you will pray through spiritual issues in the heavenlies that will determine the history of nations on earth. Like Sister Kim was saying, you know, there are two presidents, and I don't know who to pick. I'm not for either one, but you pray. You still pray. You don't side with either
that's
one
right.
that's with the devil, but you pray for change. You go in spiritual warfare to come against that's going to affect God's people. So, again, the angelic battle in the book of Daniel and Daniel's part is a battle through fasting and prayer is a perfect example of this truth. A lot of times we got to go and fast and pray for our nation, for our country, for our family. We have to fast and pray for,
yeah.
you know, for the ones we love to come out. So I know
yeah.
that earlier, those who are citizens of God's kingdom, you know, you all take note. Those who are citizens of God's kingdom are already involved in spiritual warfare. We're already involved. So it is not optional for us, you all. It's not optional.
Yes.
Okay? So the only decision we can make is whether or not we will be part of the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ and submission to his lordship. And if you are already a part of God's kingdom, of his kingdom, you all, then you are at war with the kingdom of Satan. If
That's
you have
right.
the decree and declare that you are, then you are at war with the kingdom of Satan. That's just what it is. You simply need to recognize this reality and become spiritually equipped and learn how to fight against Satan's kingdom. Because if you don't, you are going to be a casualty of spiritual warfare. So you all, when we pick up next Wednesday, we will explore the matter of becoming spiritually equipped and learning to do battle. So make sure that you're here on next Wednesday because that's what we're going to talk about next Wednesday. You know, how you're going to explore the matters of becoming
Good.
Spiritually equipped and learning to do battle so that you will have that. Like, you know, you're like, well, how do I do that? That was a lot. And we're going to talk about that next Wednesday. So make sure you don't miss it and make sure you have your notes and everything so you can go back to it, you know, so you can be strong and equipped in the kingdom of God. At this time, we'll take anybody having comments, any questions, any concerns. We want to hear from you. The lines are open. How about I just call you by name, and then I'll call you the last four digits of your phone number, and then you'll let me know so everybody's not trying to talk at the same time. Last four digits of your phone number is 5934. I think that's Jamel's number, 5934. Any questions?
I don't have any questions.
Come again? Okay.
Amen.
God bless you. Last four digits of your phone number, 2127.
No, this is Angie. No, I don't have anything.
Amen. God
Amen.
Bless you.
God bless
Last four
you.
Digits of your phone number, 1975.
No questions. Thank you.
Amen. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. God bless
Mama,
you.
I know your number. 6881, last four digits. Okay, she dropped a call. Know what happened to her. All right, last four digits of your number is 3076.
Yes, good evening. This is Miss Connie. No, I don't have any
right.
questions. When you asked the question in the beginning about the separation, you know, my mind was going to Satan with warfare against God, but I wasn't sure if that was the answer to the question, but you filled it in really nicely, so I'm good.
Amen. God bless you, Ms. Connie.
Amen.
My last four digits, 7740. And this is A. Sharon.
No, this is A. Sharon, but no, I don't have any questions. You explained it really, really well.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. My mom actually hung up. Oh, God, I'm going to call back. Anyone else, you know, I know some of y'all numbers here, but anyone else, did we get everybody? What about you, Pastor Manny?
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I want to say thank you for explaining strongholds to the point of putting us in position to be in control, putting us to be in control. And see, we need to understand
yes.
that. You know, when you understand, you know, whatever that stronghold is, and once you understand that, then, you know, you're put back in the position of being in control, you know, being led by the Holy Spirit, you know, knowing how to be in the Word and equip yourself, you know, because, you know, we are a part of God's body, and because we are part of God's body, we definitely, you know, are at war. We are at war, and you see it every single day. Every single day you are at war, you know, with something. So definitely I thank you, beautiful wife, Pastor Manning, for going over strongholds, you know, in the book of Daniel, and, you know, bringing some things to view, bringing some things to light. Thank you.
Yes, amen. We thank God. We thank God. Mama, did you have any questions, comments?
I don't have any. No.
Okay.
Amen.
We thank God. And, you know, we're going to continue to learn. It's so important. It helps us all and to exercise that each and every day to come out of those, you know, come out of those strongholds and be released. And so, you all, I just want to let you all know this, that we are going in the month of October. My husband and I'm always springing something on him. He's probably like, what is he about to say? I hadn't told him yet. But in the month of October, I've been led to do midnight prayers for the whole month of October, you all. And if you all would join us, that would be great if you can. If you can't be with us every night of October for 31 days, we will be praying at midnight. So anytime that you can come on, we will be on. But we'll be on the other number. We won't be on this line. We'll be on our prayer call number that we have on Monday. But it will be at midnight starting October for 31 days. We'll be praying. There's something to come. And so whenever I'm led to pray that way, you know, God is doing something. And it's to protect us all. So if we can, you know, if we can get on there at midnight in October, the whole month of October, I would gladly appreciate it. You can touch and agree. You all can be a part of it. That's what 31 days is a challenge, you know, for some of us, you know, to be up and to be able to stay up and meet that time at 12 o'clock. So I wanted to let you all know that. And Sister Dilla would have that for Sunday in our announcements. And so God bless you all. I want to pray right now. We're going to pray about shattering strongholds in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to sow in the word tonight. You can at Pastor Chantel on my Cash App. You can do that as you're led. In the name of Jesus Christ, and God bless you all.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, right now for this opportunity,
yes,
oh God, to give word,
you,
oh God. We thank you, Father God, for revelation and knowledge and understanding, the breakdown of your word, oh God, and the study material that you've given us, Father God, that we can go forward in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we thank you right now. We call upon you, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We call upon you, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, to walk for us right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and our family members. Heavenly Father, we come, Lord God, seeking you first, your kingdom and all your righteousness and truth. And Heavenly Father, as we pray right now, we pray for everyone that's on the line tonight. Pray for your daughter Angie, your daughter Kara, your daughter Sharon, your daughter Jamel, your daughter Kim, your son Dorsey, and all that's on the line, Father God, and all that is a purpose and heart to be here tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask you to forgive us, oh God, for all our sins, oh God. Forgive them for all their sins, iniquities, and trespasses and transgressions. And we ask you, Lord God, to cover their sins and, Father, God, our iniquities and transgressions with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and cleanse them all, cleanse us from all unrighteousness according to John 14:14, oh God. Heavenly Father, by your power, Jesus Christ, we bind right now all that are called by name, all right now in the name of Jesus Christ, body, soul, and spirit, to the will and purpose of God for their lives. And we bind their minds right now. We bind our minds, will, and emotions to the will of God. We bind them right now to the truth, into the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We bind their minds to the mind of Christ. We bind our minds to the mind of Christ. that our thoughts, our very thoughts, our feelings, and our purpose of Christ Jesus, our heart will be within their thoughts in the name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we bind our feet right now to the path of righteousness, that our steps will be steady and sure. We bind ourselves right now to the work of the cross right now with all its mercy, grace, love, and forgiveness, and dying to self in the name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of
Jesus Christ,
we lose every old, wrong, and ungodly pattern of thinking, attitude, idea, desire, belief, motivation, habit, and behavior from us right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we tear down, crush, smash, and destroy every stronghold associated with these things. We lose any strongholds in our lives right now that have been justifying and protecting hard feelings against anyone. We lose right now strongholds of unforgiveness, fear, and distress from us right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we lose the power of effects of deception
in
and lies from us right now. We lose the confusion and blindness of the enemy from our minds right now that has kept us from seeing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We call forth every precious word of scripture that has ever entered into our minds and hearts, that it would rise up in power within us in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We lose
in
the power
of
any harsh and hard words and any word curses spoken to and about or by us in the name of Jesus Christ. We lose all generational bondages associated with strongholds from us right now. We lose all effects and bondages from us that may have been caused by mistakes that we have made in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Heavenly Father,
yes,
in Jesus
Father,
Christ's holy name,
we
crush, smash, and destroy generational bondages of any kind from mistakes made of any point between generations to generations. We destroy them right here, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. They will not be
in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
They will not bind and curse any more members of our family in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind
in
the strong
name
man that will, that we may spoil his house, taking back every bit of joy, peace, blessing, freedom, and every material and spiritual possession that has been stolen from us in the name of Jesus Christ. We take
in
back them right
Jesus.
Now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We loose the strong man's influence over every part of our body, soul, and spirit. We loose right now, crush and smash
Hallelujah.
And destroy every evil device the enemy has tried to bring into our suffer
of
influence during this day and night in
the
name
the
of Jesus
of
Christ.
Holy
we
spirit.
Bind and loose these things in Christ Jesus. His holy name. He has given us the keys and the authority to do so, and we use it right now, and we thank you for it, Lord. It is in
thank
Jesus'
you,
name
Lord
that
Jesus.
We pray, and we seal this prayer with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, decreeing, declaring that all things are working together for the good of our life, and it is so, and it shall be no other way. Father God, I ask that you touch every heart right now, oh God. I ask that you walk every house, Father God, bringing your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Oh, Father God, as we sleep on tonight, Father God, Lord, I ask that you speak to our hearts, oh God. Let restoration come as we sleep. Let deliverance come.
Yes.
Peace and joy come in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. May we stand to
in
our feet in the morning,
Jesus.
Father God, receiving joy. For the Bible said we've been do it for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let joy come. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father God, for joy.
Hallelujah.
Unspeakable joy. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Renew, restore, heal, deliver, and set free. Blessed and protected by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you for it, Lord.
Yes.
It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Yes.
To God be the glory. And we all say amen, amen,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Most High God. God bless you all.
Yes,
you all have a good night.
Yes, God bless.
It ain't nothing you can do about it.
We're
back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. with the preacher and the pastor show. So I hope you all be here tomorrow.
Amen.
You all take care. God bless you. We love you.
God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
Yes,
thank
I love
you. Hallelujah.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Hello.
Yes,
you
what's going on?
You say y'all love us,
huh?
And ain't nothing we can do about it, and ain't nothing I want to do about it.
Uh-huh, but receive
all
it.
Right,
receive
all
it.
Right. We receive it.
Ain't nothing you can do about it. Just receive it. I'm going to love you regardless.
Yes.
But I say, I don't want to do nothing about it.
All right, then. Just receive it. Amen. Have a good night, Jared. Amen.
Okay.
All right.